This podcast is a member of the New York City Podcast Network at nycpodcastnetwork.com. Visit us to listen to over 250 amazing podcasts just like this one.
Japanese street style is some of the cutest and trendiest clothing in the world. Introducing Cherry Goddess Women's Clothing and Accessories, the hottest original and cute clothing company. We offer tops, clothes, accessories, shoes, dresses and skirts, and comfortable homeware that we guarantee you will love. Cherry Goddess Women's Clothing, super cute Japanese style clothing.
Yeah, this is Jeffrey Frazier, and this is the latest episode of Black Wall Street Chronicles, ladies and gentlemen. How you doing? We actually in for a good episode today. I recently found out something interesting that I didn't know as a black man. I did not know that it's extremely hard for a woman during childbirth. Apparently, black women have a higher rate of dying during childbirth more than white women and non-Hispanics. This is actually very interesting. So, before we get started, I want to talk about some other things that was brought to my attention just like looking at the news. I noticed that President Trump did something very petty. In my opinion, more pettier than usual. President Trump, so there's a new law that states that the immigrants can't stay in the detention center for more than 20 days. So, President Trump says, okay, after the 20 days, after we done capturing all the illegal immigrants, what we're going to do is dump them in sanctuary cities. And the minute that President Trump says that, it seems that all of these sanctuary cities became Republican. Cher was calling, Cher in the state of California was saying President Trump is racist, but the minute he said he was going to dump all of the immigrants in California, Cher was like, but what about the 2 million homeless? So like, oh, what's going on? You changing your tune? Hey, you have to understand that these liberals are just as racist as the Republicans. Yeah, you don't want to be dumped. If you are a Mexican immigrant, let me tell you something. You don't want to be dumped anywhere in these sanctuary cities, because what they're going to do is they're going to put you in the worst neighborhoods, and you guys are going to be victims of gentrification. This is why when the president of Mexico was catching wind of what President Trump is doing, he started changing his tune. He said, listen, you just send them back here. Like, don't do that. Don't send them in New York City to live in the Bronx and they have to walk around the street homeless picking up cans and listen, destitutes. You putting Mexican President Trump is going to put Mexican American immigrants in this situation where they're going to be living in shanty towns. Yeah, if this gentrification thing happens to us, gentrification keeps happening, man, black people gonna live in shanty towns. But that's another episode. Yeah, another thing that President Trump is doing that I find very interesting is he put Herman Cain as one of the representatives of the Federal Reserve, which is actually very interesting. President Trump wants to bring back the gold standard. The Federal Reserve is not going to like that. As you know, the Federal Reserve is a private bank, and we are a fiat currency, and we have been a fiat currency for a very long time. The fact that President Trump wants to bring back the gold standards is going to mess up a couple of these elitist things. And I don't even like President Trump. That's actually very interesting. Anybody that challenged the banks, they always got in trouble. We know this from American history. So, what we're going to do right now is take a quick break. And then when I come back, we are going to talk about the black woman who is being killed during childbirth. All right, take care. Be back in a second.
Thank you.
Welcome back, Black Wall Street Chronicles. I am your host, Jeffrey Frazier. Now, earlier I said this episode was going to be about black women having complications during childbirth. I recently figured out last week that black women are 3 to 4 times more likely to die during childbirth. And basically, I'm going to talk about I'm going to read 2 articles and I'm going to give my opinion on why maybe black women are dying in childbirth. It may not only be a racial issue, it may be just a cultural issue, because you know, historically, black women in African women and European women actually historically birth different ways. Black women back in the old days in the continent of Africa used to give birth standing up. And the reason why they gave birth standing up is because they wanted to use gravity to basically help the woman push the baby out. Also in the continent of Africa, they also have the woman have the baby underwater. And when you have a baby underwater, they say that the baby pops out and swims automatically to the top. And the reason why the baby automatically swims to the top, because you know, the baby was in the womb, they're actually in water. Babies know how to swim naturally. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna read these 2 articles, one from CNN. There's a black woman who used to be a former makeup designer. She used to design for celebrities. And then she found out that basically that black woman in our country is having these complications. And she's trying to figure out why she was able to survive childbirth but other black women wasn't. Okay, so let me read this article. The documentary series Giving Birth in America is produced by Every Mother Counts, a nonprofit organization that seeks to raise the profile and issues of maternal health in the United States. Okay? Now, any of you ladies is listening to this, if you want to find out more information, you can actually Google the documentary series Giving Birth in America to basically find out more info. Now I'm going to read the CNN article. It was her second time lying numb in a hospital bed in North Bergen, New Jersey, with blood streaming down her legs and fear creeping in her heart. At that moment, Tamara McQueen Saba thought to herself, "There's no way in the world that I'm the only woman who's had this happen," she said. In 2010, after giving birth vaginally to her oldest daughter Gigi, one late afternoon in April, postpartum hemorrhage or excessive bleeding, the leading cause of maternal death worldwide, nearly killed her. Then about a year later, she started bleeding profusely in a small bathroom in a frozen yogurt shop. The blood was from a miscarriage, which left her feeling helpless in the hospital bed. She didn't know that she was pregnant. It was all the way back to where I was a year before, and I realized I haven't healed from the near fatal traumatic experience the year before, says Saba, now the 39-year-old mother of 2 girls. The former celebrity makeup artist, who saw clients such as novelist Candice Bushnell and Keira Davis, decided to become a maternal health advocate, speaking on behalf of the 830 women who die from pregnancy or childbirth-related complications every day around the world. That is about 303,000 a year. Each year in the United States, about 700 to 1,200 women die from pregnancy or childbirth complications. And the black women like Saba are about 3 to 4 times more likely to die of a pregnancy or delivery complications than white women. The quick-witted, savvy Saba said the data shocked her. "It really took me a while to digest it," she said. She survived something that many others around the world haven't. What was different about me? Why didn't I die? What were the reasons for that? She asked. "I felt like I have a duty to tell this story, to represent my race in a way that not many people can, because I lived through it." We've known her for a couple of years. Women in the United States are more likely to die from childbirth or pregnancy-related causes than other women in the developed world. And half of these deaths may be preventable, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. That's weird. Why are we the number one advanced country in the world, but more women die of childbirth more than anybody else? That makes no sense. It's like we're forgetting the old ways of having children. That's weird. Let's get on with this article. The CDC's Pregnancy Mortality Service System was implemented in 1986 to track maternal deaths. Since then, the number of reported pregnancy-related deaths nationwide steadily increased from 7.2 deaths per 100,000 live births in 1987 to 7.8 per 100,000 in 2009 and 2011. Why the increase? Some researchers argue that health insurance officials simply have improved counting deaths over time and time by using new classification codes and introducing a pregnancy status box on the death certificates in 2003, which could make it appear that there was an increase. Others argue that higher rates of obesity, women have children in older ages, and social changes and trends in public health could drive an apparent increase. Yet it remains complicated to answer why there has been a rise in deaths and why black women are more affected than any other women of other races, said Dr. Michael Lindsley, an advocate professor at the Emory University School of Medicine and chief service for gynecology and obesities at Grady Memorial Hospital in Atlanta. The racial divide in maternal deaths have been persistent for decades, Lindsay said, so the rate is not something new. It's something we've known for a number of years. Maternal deaths are rare in the United States. Many doctors and researchers have varying ideas about what factors could be driving this long-standing racial disparity in death rates. Some point to the difference in overall health and chronic illness among black and white women as a driving factor for the disparity. For instance, rates of obesity and high blood pressure or hypertension, risk factors for pregnancy complications, tend to be higher among black women. Others point to differences in social economic status, access to health care, education, insurance coverage, housing, level of stress, and community health among black and white women, including even implement bias and variations in the way in which health care is delivered to black versus white women. Historically, black women in low-income communities have had the same access to quality care as white women in high-income communities. Those same factors shed light on disparities not only in maternal mortality but in obesity, hypertension, heart disease, and overall health, said Dr. Elizabeth Howell, an obstetrician, gynecologist, and professor at the Eakin School of Medicine at Mount Sinai. There are economics, social, environmental, biologic, genetic, behavior, and healthcare factors that all contribute to the disparities in this country, Howell said. It is a complex web of these kinds of factors, and I think people are looking and trying to figure out how these different factors and actually all contribute to disparities, she said, adding that her research had focused on the factor of quality care. For instance, Hauer and her colleagues found that black women in New York City were more likely than white women to give birth in hospitals that already have a high rate of severe maternal morbidity or complications, according to a study published in the American Journal of Obesities and Gynecology last year. The researchers found that 63% of white patients versus 23% of black patients gave birth in the safest hospitals in the study. Solving a deadly problem. It could narrow variation in outcomes and improve quality of care for pregnant women. We would reduce disparities, Howard said. There have been efforts to establish standardized protocols called patient and safety bundles all across hospitals, whether they are served mostly white or black patients, to appropriately access and address child birth complications such as postpartum hemorrhage with an equal quality of care, she said. Health officials, doctors, and advocates gathered Tuesday at the CDC in Atlanta to discuss efforts to measure and prevent maternal deaths and the racial disparities that persist. The public meeting included discussions of the effects that maternal deaths have on families and communities, as well as efforts to prevent deaths, such as those patient safety bundles. As for establishing uniform bundles, it addresses unequal treatment, said Dr. Wilma Callaghan, chief of the CDC Maternal and Infant Health Branch, who spoke at Tuesday's meeting. If not state-by-state solution to solve the problem of disparities, this is a national problem and we all know it. It's always the elephant in the room in the United States that things are different, he said. You'll find across every health outcome. Saba, who did not attend the meeting, was happy to hear that it was scheduled to take place, but she said she wished that the actual patients had more of a presence on the agenda and more of a voice in the room. There are many advocates like myself. We have been sharing our stories for years, or trying to, yet we continue to be left out of the most of these conversations, Saba said. There needs to be a better balance of speakers who can bring to light the full picture from legislation, researchers, and statistics to real patients who survived a birth trauma or the families of those that didn't, she said. Saba added that she has long been a proponent of the Preventing Maternal Deaths Act of 2017. The bipartisan bill was introduced in Congress in March to support state efforts to prevent maternal deaths, eliminate disparities in maternal health outcomes, and identify solutions to improve health care quality for mothers. It has not passed in the House or Senate. What could I leave for my daughter if I die? To this day, Saba remembers vividly the trauma she experienced while giving birth to her oldest daughter. She still remembers seeing her reflection in a bank TV screen that overlooked her hospital bed during labor. In that reflection, she saw a river of blood pouring out of her body, her blood pressure dropped, and her muscles felt weak. At that point, I'd never given birth before, and so I thought that there was a part of health I didn't know any better, Saba said of the excessive bleeding. I'm watching the inflection of the television screen, and I can see everybody like in the room in terms of health professionals. Their facial expression has changed, she said. That's when she knew something was wrong. Saba's uterus was not contracting strongly enough to compress blood vessels after her delivery, a condition called uterine atony, which led to the hemorrhage, she said. Many women do die of hemorrhaging, so that is a very common cause of maternal mortality and morbidity, said Dr. Mark Blenska, Saba's OBGYN in New Jersey, who has been in practice for about 27 years. As Saba was bleeding out, Blenska said, he and his team rushed to give her medication. That didn't help. He then massaged her uterus. That didn't help either. The bleeding didn't respond to normal treatment and to the moderates we use, Breska said. So Saba underwent a uterine sparing procedure, he said, in which the blood vessels near her uterus were blocked from harming the uterus. Saba said his surgeon told her she might not survive.
and she immediately wished that she had time to write her daughter a letter. All I could think about what I'd leave for my daughter to remember if I die, Saba said. I would have never want her to know that she should never feel guilty about what happened, that it was not her fault. The feeling of her body losing life. After her postpartum hemorrhage, Saba said, she was diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder. She stayed awake at night with the images of blood flashing in her mind. She couldn't make them stop. Now she knew the feeling of her body losing life, she said, and she could not stop thinking about it. I would be up all night Googling trauma, PTSD, hemorrhaging, and I couldn't find anything 7 years ago that I felt like something I could relate to, Saba said. So I would go into these PTSD chat rooms that the war veterans are in, and I could tell my story, and they would take me in like I was one of their own, she said. I found solace and comfort in that chat room of war veterans. Eventually, after her miscarriage in her frozen yoga shop, Saba started meeting with a therapist, she said. Saba ended up seeing a licensed clinical social worker who specializes in postpartum mental health and PTSD. Her PTSD symptoms were treated with a combination of therapy and restorative yoga. As Sasha reflected on all she has overcome, she admitted that she often thinks back on the questions, why didn't I die? Okay, right now what we're going to do is going to take a break. We're going to finish the article, and then we're going to start the second article. This is very heavy stuff. Take care. We'll be right back. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jeffrey Frazier. Welcome back to Black Wall Street Chronicles. We're going to finish this article. And when we finish this article, we're basically going to talk more about it. And after we finish this article, I'm going to read you a new article. Basically talking about the same situation. As a black man, you know, I have to apologize to black women. I didn't know the pregnancy was really so tough. I have to apologize for being unaware. Hopefully you ladies watching this, and you can hit me back when I post this on YouTube and when I finally have this information on iTunes and Pandora and such, you can actually respond back to me, and you can, you know, we can talk about figuring out a way to actually fix this problem. Okay, let's finish off this article. Looking at the statistics, I have excellent prenatal care and no pre-existing conditions, Saba said, adding that she had great insurance. After realizing that this was not the norm, I decided to advocate for better maternal health care for all women, she said. Low-income women of color, immigrant women, are more likely to be uninsured. So now not having access to maybe family planning services and all sorts of things can increase risk. Even though that many of those factors are out of women's control, there are some things that all moms to be can do to boost their chances of having a healthy pregnancy and delivery, Emory University Lindsley said. For instance, the World Health Organization issued a new series of recommendations last year to improve quality of prenatal care around the world. The recommendations include healthy eating and exercising, taking daily iron and folic acid supplements, and maintaining doctor appointments and ultrasounds during the course of pregnancy. A study published in the medical journal JAMA on Tuesday found that having a lower or higher body mass index than normal before pregnancy was associated with small increase in maternal morbidity or mortality among women in Washington state. Follow CNN Health on Facebook and Twitter. So the latest news that share your comments with CNN Health on Facebook and Twitter. The CDC's Callahan said that planning for a baby and visiting a physician before there's a positive pregnancy test that can make a difference. Check things out on the front end, he said. What is my family history? What is my past medical history? What's my weight now? And begin to address those kinds of things prior to pregnancy. If you're a smoker, stop. And if you have diabetes, control your blood sugar levels, Lindsay said. If you have a complication during pregnancy, such as high blood pressure or hemorrhage, following up with your doctor in a postpartum period is important. When we've gone back to retrospectively and we've reviewed patients who have died, sometimes there's a breakdown in some of those areas, Lindsay said. After they delivered the baby, they sort of, for lack of a better term, fallen between the cracks. It's very interesting. Very interesting article. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the second article all the way through, and we're going to quickly talk about it, and then we're going to go on a quick break, okay? Now, here's the second article. It's from Health News. Give me a second for it to load up. All right. Why is giving birth dangerous for women of color in the U.S.? American mothers die in childbirth at higher rates than any other in developed country, and those most at our risk of mothers of color. Elise Salazar was 19 years old when she gave birth in Hawaii. She was being seen at a military hospital, and as a mixed race Latino American, felt early on that her opinions did not matter to the OBGYN team that was providing her care. In fact, when she asked for epidural, the anesthesiologist told her that she had to prove that she was enough in pain first. I had to perform labor pain to his explanations before he would authorize the epidural, Salazar told Healthline. When the epidural was fully approved, Salazar was surprised it wasn't the anesthesiologist who gave it to her, but a student he passed the task off to instead. Salazar says that the student missed three times, ultimately stabbing her in the spine a total of four times before the medication was delivered. She then only set the epidural for 40 minutes, saying that she wanted to wear off before Salazar went into labor. After epidural wore off, I was in the most horrific pain in my life. I was screaming, having trouble breathing, and panicking. A nurse came in the room and told me to shut up because I was scaring the other patients. By the time I was ready to deliver, I'd been laboring med-free for about an hour and a half, Salazar said. What followed was third-degree tears after the medical team failed to give her an epistotomy when she had with her first baby. The nursing staff also cleaned the baby shortly after delivery, but left Salazar lying in sheets soaked with blood influence in a soiled vagina area for more than an hour after giving birth. Most people might hear Salazar's story and hope it was an isolated tale, but the truth is, stories like hers are far more common in the United States than they should be. I just noticed something about these articles, and I'm going to talk about it after reading this one. A history of poor maternal health outcomes. The number of poor maternal health outcomes in America isn't new ones. The NPR teamed up with the ProPublica for a six-month investigation on maternal morality in the United States in 2017. What they found was disturbing. The United States has a higher maternal morality rate than any other developed nation. Treatable complications are often to blame for mothers dying when the right care could have prevented those deaths. Hospitals remain unprepared for dealing with maternal emergencies. Only 6% of grads stated for maternal and child health actually go to the health of mothers. Women of color at greater risk. Another facet of the recent report surrounding maternal health outcomes in the United States is one that seems to be largely ignored. For women of color, the outcomes are even worse. The Center for American Progress reports African American women are 3 to 4 times more likely to die of childbirth than non-Hispanic white women. And socioeconomic status, education, and other factors do not protect against this disparity. In fact, Salazar is in good company with her story of traumatic birth, as both Beyonce and Serena Williams came out earlier this year with stories of their own. Interesting. Jean DeClercq, PhD, is a professor of community health science and assistant dean of doctoral education at Boston University. He's also a researcher who has spent several years striving to compile accurate numbers on maternal health outcomes in the United States. The government hasn't published an official rate since 2007, he told Healthline. There are semi-legitimate reasons for that, because there were some measurement changes, but we thought we could develop a general estimate, and then we dug into the disparities. His goal is to shift the debate from just maternal health outcomes to an overall public health conversation. In his research, he's learned that while the death rates of women under 15 and over 45 in the United States are going down, the death rates of women 15 to 44 childbearing age, and particularly 25 to 34, are going up. He sees the issue one related to women's health in general. The disparity. When women asked about the disparity of outcomes for women of color, the clerk cited an issue of not listening to minority mothers and not taking problems they are reporting seriously, just as Salazar experienced. That's a big piece of it all, he said, but we also can't neglect the fact that for a lot of women in a lot of states, if they are not on private insurance, they won't get public insurance until they are pregnant. He explained that the system for Medicaid coverage is set in many states to be easier to gain approval once a woman is pregnant. But at that point, she's carrying all of her previous unchecked healthcare issues into the pregnancy, and she may have a hard time finding a provider who will care for her. She finds a place to deliver, but in most states, she'll be dropped from public insurance within 60 days of giving birth. It certainly sends the message to women that they're only important as a baby character and after the baby is born. We don't care anymore, the clerk said. They're not falling through the cracks. There are no cracks. There's no system at all for them to be cared for in. Lack of access and awareness. This is an issue Riru Thompson, a woman's healthcare practitioner at Public Clinic in New York, knows all too well. Dr. Thompson recently participated in a podcast for Health Cetera on maternal health outcomes for women of color, where one of the speakers was a young mother who shared her traumatic birth story. Speaking to Healthline, both about the story that was shared on the podcast and the overall maternal health outcomes for women of color, Thompson said, I know it starts with lack of prenatal care, and then it also becomes an issue of these women simply not being heard. She talked about the fear she sees among Hispanic women, especially when it comes to pursuing maternal health care. Thompson pointed out that many will avoid health care for long as they can because they're undocumented and they're worried about being deported. But that's the only one small piece of disturbing maternal health care picture. There's also a lack of awareness, she said, and economic factors. They may not realize that they can get Medicaid or they may struggle to find a provider once they have it. Lack of knowledge, fear, poor and inadequate access, stigma surrounding teenage or unplanned pregnancy. It can all keep women from seeking out the care that they need. Institutional racism. Discussing the recent cases of Serena Williams and Beyonce, as well as her own experience in the medical field, Thompson said, when you look at the maternal health outcomes for women of color and realize they're poor even among women of higher social economic status, that's when you have to consider the impact of institutional racism. There's a tendency to look at women culturally as opposed to what they are saying objectively. The Center for American Progress has come to the same conclusion, citing racism and sexism issues that compromise a woman's health across time. However, combating these issues isn't something that will happen overnight, according to the clerk. Universal health care would be a big step towards ensuring all women have the access to care they need, not just during pregnancy, but before and after as well. He also thinks that the social system as a whole needs to be overhauled, citing issues like maternity and paternal leave. The United States is the most developed nation that doesn't have mandatory paid maternity leave policies. The result, the clerk explains, is women wait until the last possible minute to take time off of work so they can maximize what little time they have to do with their baby and minimize the time that they go without a paycheck. In terms of their health and health of their baby, he explained, taking time off before and after is important, but they want the most time home with their babies, and in our current social structure doesn't support them doing what's best for their health. As far as he's concerned, it's not just a healthcare system problem. It's a social system that plays a role in the better outcomes of country as countries are seeing. How we can change the system. Thompson said that she would like to see healthcare providers being more sensitive from the beginning of their medical care education. They should be learning about cultural sensitivity. She also said that she wants to see an end to limitations currently placed on healthcare providers by insurance companies dictating what they can and can't prescribe. We cannot only do so much as the providers. Our healthcare system needs to allow us to meet an individual patient's needs, Thomas said. When asked what women can do to advocate for themselves and improve their own health outcomes, she said, the best thing is education, knowledge, and developing a rapport with your health care provider from the beginning. But we have to see you early and often to be able to do that. Salazar, now nearly 20 years removed from her dramatic birth experience, has her own advice for women who may feel as though they are not being heard. I was young and naive. I had no idea that there are people in my position could be so negligent or just so mean. If I was going through that experience now, I will not allow the nurse to ignore us or speak to us the way she did. Nor I will allow the anesthesiologist to play God with my pain. She said that she wishes she had filed complaints about the lack of care and professionalism that she received. Salazar said that hopes sharing her story will help others speak up if they find themselves in a similar situation and realize just because hospital staff members are treating them a certain way doesn't mean that it's normal. Very interesting article. We're going to take a quick 2-minute break. I'm going to close off the episode on a couple of things that I picked up on both of these articles, okay? Be back in a moment. Welcome back. This is Black Wall Street Chronicles. How are you? How are you guys doing? This has been a very heavy episode. A lot of information that I did not even know myself. The articles that I was reading. I will say a couple of things. First, I would like to say, where are the men in this situation? Where are you? The one story when Miss Salazar said that she had the complication and she had a student that was injecting the epidural and she missed her spine like 4 times and they placed the epidural like right before they placed the epidural at the wrong time. Where is the men? Like, what happened? What is going on? Why is that she's in a bed with soiled sheets? Soiled, bloody sheets, and they haven't washed her vaginal area. Why didn't change her seats? That's so unsanitary. Like, what's going on? Like, we also need to talk about the health issues with the African American community, because they said that diabetes, high blood pressure, smoking and alcohol and drugs does affect our pregnancy, plus the stress that we're going through. That all can affect the baby. And I got a couple of friends that's actually about to have kids. They're African Americans, and now I'm scared for them. Well, I hate to end it on a depressing note. Next week, we'll be talking about black veterans and the issues that black veterans have to go through after coming home from war. Thank you very much, and you enjoy the rest of your week. Take care.